is good, and all the time. Psalm 100, verse 5, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. I like that statement very much. Truth will endure to all generations. Error will one day come to an end. Along with those who persist in living their lives by error. Let me say that again, differently. Truth has always existed as long as there has been God, there has been truth. Because the Bible says in Deuteronomy 32, verse 4, God is truth. John 14, 6, Christ is truth. 1 John 5, 6, the Holy Ghost is truth. As long as there has been a Godhead, there has been truth. Error will one day come to an end, along with those who persist in living their lives by error. It's a pleasure to see you. And it's a privilege to stand before you. I welcome you, not only those of you physically in this building, but those who are connecting to us via the internet, wherever you are on this round earth, which some people say is flat. We welcome you, and we pray that God will bless you as surely as we know He will bless us in this building here in somewhere outside of Sydney in Australia. Our subject for this evening, power everywhere. What did I say? Power everywhere. What was our subject last night? A God of power. What was our subject this morning? A man of power. And our subject tonight, power everywhere. Before I go any further, if you have a Bible, I prefer you use a Bible, but if all you have is a phone, then okay, God loves you also. But I prefer you look as if you are in church. The second favor I ask is that you pray for me while I'm speaking. All I want you to say is, Lord, put your words in that man's mouth. Jesus says this about his words. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. That's what the Bible says about God's words. The Bible does not say that about my words. And so I want to speak God's words, because the words of God will change your lives. And so during the presentation, just say from time to time, in the privacy of your heart, Lord, put your words in that man's mouth. And that is based on Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 9. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. And favor number three, what is that? Think. I want you to think. Well, not I want you to think. God wants you to think. Isaiah 1:18, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. As you listen, I want you to reason, think, analyze, and come to conclusions under the guidance of the Spirit of Truth. Let's bow our heads. Our Father in heaven, thank you for life. Thank you, dear God, for the freedom we have to come into your presence, to worship you, to recognize that there is a power outside ourselves, greater than ourselves, and that power is God, that's you. Lord, by recognizing that power, we acknowledge our proper place, and that's the place of dependence, the place of trust, the place of worship. If we've sinned against you, dear God, forgive us. In the place of sin, put grace, put your power, put your spirit. I ask you, Father, to put your words in my mouth. Help me to say what you will have me to say, when I should say it, how I should say it. Bless all those listening via the internet, dear God. Bless all those who are joining us for the first time this weekend. A double blessing on all our visitors, Father. As I humble myself before you, use me, dear God, as a musician uses an instrument. I offer no resistance. Hear this humble prayer, dear God, I offer it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Let God's people say, amen and amen. What's our subject? Power everywhere. The Bible says in Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. At the human level, when someone creates something, that person does so with a certain style unique to that person. If you have studied classical music, you will reach the place where you can identify the style of Mozart as different from Mendelssohn or Beethoven or Handel. You can tell, even though you may not know the individual piece of music, you can tell by the style, by the composition, this is Mozart, or this is Beethoven, or this is Tchaikovsky. You can look at a painting, and you can say, you know, this is from one of the Impressionists, or this is Pablo Picasso, just by the style. Every artist, and God is an artist, has a style that identifies the work as the work of a particular person. Books, authors have a style of writing that identify them. And if you read their books, you can see the identifying marks in the way they write, in the way they draw, in the way they paint, in the way they sculpt. You can identify Greek sculpture from Roman sculpture. You can identify sculpture from different periods of history. They all have styles to them. The Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Now, God also has a style of creation so that we can identify Him as the maker of heaven and earth. In all that God has made, God has placed some of Himself. Now, that's a mysterious statement. I cannot explain it scientifically. I can just say it. Neither can I explain scientifically how I breathe at night without making a decision to breathe. But I'm glad I do. But I don't understand how I breathe unconsciously. So everything that we experience, we don't need to be able to explain. I do not understand how my body senses certain deficiencies and makes up for it somehow. I don't understand. I'm just glad my body does it. So I say again, when God made heaven and earth, God placed in His creation evidences of Himself. What's our subject? Power everywhere. Go to Psalm 19. Psalm 19. We'll read verse 1. It's a well-known verse. Psalm 19, reading verse 1. And I read from the King James Version of the Bible. Do you have it? What does that verse say? The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament sheweth His handiwork. We have two things, His glory and His handiwork. Now, I mentioned artists, painters, musicians. In their work, we see their handiwork. We may not see their glory. We'll take a look at what glory is. The Bible says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament sheweth His handiwork. In other words, if you examine the universe, if you look into the heavens day or night, and you look honestly, you must conclude there is a power that did this, whether you can attach a name to the power or not. Now, since the heavens declare the glory of God, let's look at what glory is. Exodus 33, we'll read from verse 11. Exodus 33, reading from verse 11, our subject, power everywhere. Where is my timekeeper? What time is it? 7:50. That's 10 to 8. All right. And I'm supposed to end by 9. Oh, I'll finish before 9. So please relax. What book did I say? Exodus, what chapter? 33. Reading for what verse? 18. And he said, I beseech thee, shew me thy glory. Moses is asking God, show me your glory. Now what Moses had in mind was the brilliance, the brightness, the light of God. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee. And I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. I will shew mercy on whom I will shew mercy. And he said, thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. God said, you cannot see my face. Now God understood when Moses said, shew me thy glory, Moses wanted to see his face. But God showed Moses something else. Very often we ask for things and we ask for what we don't need to ask for. And God gives us what we really need. Chapter 34, reading from verse 5. And the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. Now, that's what God said he would do in verse 19. I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee. Of course, the name of the Lord refers to the character of God. And so in verse 5 of chapter 34, the Bible says, and the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord, or he showed his name, his character. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord, merciful and gracious, long-suffering, abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity, transgression, and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty. And God says to Moses, this is what you need to see. I am merciful, I am gracious, I am long-suffering, I am abundant in goodness and truth, I forgive iniquity, I forgive transgression, I forgive sin. That's who I am. God showed Moses his glory, and the glory of God is his character. In the book God's Amazing Grace, page 322, paragraph 2, the author writes, the glory of God is his character. Now the Bible says the same thing in different words. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, we'll read verse 18. Our subject, power everywhere. 2 Corinthians 3, reading verse 18. Do you have that? Not yet. I can still hear pages turning. Do we have it now? 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18. I have till 9, so I'll wait. Do we have it now? But we all, with open face, beholding as in the glass, what? The glory of the Lord, are what? Change into the same image from glory to glory. Now, the word image and glory mean the same thing in that verse. So the image of God is the glory of God, which is his character. So when Moses said, show me thy glory, God showed him his character. That is, at the highest level, the glory of God. And how do we glorify God? John 15, verse 8, herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, the fruits of the Spirit. When a person develops a Christ-like character, God is glorified because the character of God is produced in that person. The glory of God is his character. All right. Now listen to Psalm 19, verse 1 again. The heavens declare the glory of God. Now, what is there about the character of God you can deduce by observing the heavens? Are the stars the same place at certain times? Yes. Do the heavenly bodies follow regular patterns of travel? Yes. Do planets follow certain patterns of travel around the sun? Yes. What does that tell you about God? He's orderly. He is reliable. He is disciplined. And He's a God of law. The heavens declare the glory of God. Now, the heavens cannot show you everything about God, but the heavens give glimpses of who God is. The heavens declare the glory of God. Now, we read the very first verse. In the beginning, God created what? The heaven and the earth. So if the heavens have evidences of God's glory, we must also find evidence of God's glory where? On the earth. Go to Isaiah 6. Isaiah 6. We'll read from verse 1. Our subject, power everywhere. Isaiah 6. Reading from verse 1. You have that? Isaiah 6 from verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and His train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphim. Each one had 6 wings. With twain He covered His face, with twain He covered His feet, and with twain He did fly. Now listen to verse 3. If you have the King James Version and you don't mind reading so your Heavenly Father can hear you, read with me. And one cried unto the other and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. Finish the verse. The whole earth is full of His glory. Now, without going to Psalm 19 verse 1, what does it say? The heavens declare the glory of God. What does Isaiah 6 verse 3 say? The whole earth is full of His glory. What does Genesis 1:1 say? In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. In the beginning, God placed evidences of His glory in the heavens and in the earth. If that's clear, say amen. Which means that as you and I look around and walk around and drive around and fly around, we are surrounded by what? Evidences of the glory, the character, the power, and the workmanship of God. So there's power. What's our title? There's power everywhere. Now, you must condition your mind to look. If you're on safari, in some countries you can go on a walking safari. Zimbabwe, South Africa in Kruger, maybe Masai Mara in Kenya or Serengeti in Tanzania or whatever, in Solomon Islands, whatever. You go on a walking safari, you camp out at night and you wake up in the morning and outside your tent you see footprints. Now the footprint is about this wide, fairly deep. There's some holes at the end of the toes, meaning claws. Now, you're in Africa. There are no tigers in Africa, so you have to make some conclusions. Now, based on what you see, you can correctly conclude a lion walked past your tent at night. If the footprint is the size of this podium and forms a little lake, the one in front of the other, you can conclude an elephant walked past your tent without seeing the elephant. Now, you see a flower growing and you cover it and the flower turns to get away from the cover and then goes back upright. What is the flower doing? Looking for the sun. Who told the flower to do that? Do you see God? No, not personally. You don't see a divine being with eyes and ears and whatever else. But you see evidence of a power that wrote a law into that plant. Find the sun. You look at the grass, green. You look at the trees, taking sunlight and oxygen, not oxygen, and carbon dioxide, and carrying out a process which follows certain chemical laws called photosynthesis to produce sugars to provide energy for them. And the byproduct is oxygen, which you and I need. And it goes on all day without a change in the chemical laws. And you must conclude, without knowing the name of God, there is a power. You look at a little kitten. It looks just like the mother cat. You look at a butterfly. It was once a pupae, or whatever that word is. You look at a tadpole, and it becomes a frog. And you wonder, what is the power behind these activities that follow laws reliably? And you must conclude, there is a power. And so the Bible says, the whole earth is full of His glory. Now we read, first of all, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And so as you go about your business, as I said earlier, you must condition your mind to look for God and be in constant contact with God. Now how can you do that? You're driving and you see a tree. This is a practical sermon. When you see a tree, what should you think of? When were trees made? On the third day. Every time you see a tree, you see the power of God. You see the power of the word of creation. Genesis 1:11, and God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. When you see a tree, you see the power in God's word to create. When you see the sky, Genesis 1:6, and God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. The Bible says God created the firmament, and you see a bird flying through the sky, and you think of Genesis 1 verse 20, and God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life, and fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. And you realize that bird can only fly because there's an atmosphere. Take away the air, and those wings have nothing to bite into, and that bird cannot fly. You see an animal, and you see the power of God. A cat has never produced a puppy. A bird has never produced a turtle. Are you following me? You see the power of God. Reliability, constancy, dependability. Each producing after his kind, and you see that. And you say, glory to God. You drive down the road, you see a man or a woman. What do you think? And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. And you realize that God originally made human beings in his image. And a little of that is still in us. It is not entirely erased by sin. And because God's original plan was to make people in his image, we respect people. I will not harass someone made in the image of God. I will respect a human being, because whether it's someone who sits on a throne, or some aboriginal person in the backwoods of some country, or some native person, I will respect, because God made people in his image, and I will respect anything that bears the image of God. My brothers and sisters, There is power everywhere. Because it was by the word of the Lord, which is the power of God, were the heavens made, and all the hosts of them by the breath of his mouth. Hebrews 11:3, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. We have a powerful God. And every time you see evidence of God, which is everywhere, you realize to be an atheist requires tremendous effort. Because this atheist, or so-called atheist, is surrounded by the glory of God. Whether he looks up, he's surrounded by the glory of God. Whether he looks around, he's surrounded by the glory of God. If he dives into the sea, he is surrounded by the glory of God. If he hides in a cave, he is surrounded by the glory of God. Evidences of a God of power. So the Bible says, the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Now let me elaborate on that. That's Romans 1:20. The invisible things of him, God's characteristics that you don't see with your naked eye. If a man is proud, you don't see pride with your naked eye. You see evidence of pride. Are you with me? You cannot see humility. You see the evidence of humility. You cannot see greed. You see the evidence of greed. And so the Bible says the invisible things of him from the creation of the world or foundation of the world are clearly seen, not with the eye, because we don't walk by sight, we walk by faith. Being understood by the things that are made. Let me keep leaning over all the time. Let me just come right here. The frightening thing about that verse, it ends, so that they are without excuse. There will be no one who can say to God, I didn't know there was a God. Because if you saw a blade of grass, you saw evidence of a God. Doesn't need you to know his name. He just needs you to acknowledge there is a power in the universe beyond me. And it is a benevolent power. Because the devil doesn't create things to be a blessing to anyone. The Bible says, thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth unto thee. That's what the devil produces, thorns and thistles. God produces roses. And so Romans 1:20 verse says, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. Clearly. But you must look honestly. You walk to the supermarket. And you see a banana. You can't miss a banana. You see a grape. You can't miss it. Then you see a coconut. And if you're from Indonesia or Malaysia or the Philippines, you see a durian. Then you see a pomegranate. Then an apple. How can you miss a pineapple? And a pear. And a plum. And fruits I have never seen. And you ask yourself, where did they come from? Then you see a rose, and a daffodil, and a marigold, and a tulip, and an orchid, and 1,000 different flowers whose names I do not know. And you ask yourself, where did they come from? Then you see a horse, and a cow, and a dog, and a lizard, and a cat, and a crocodile, and a hippopotamus, and a rhinoceros, and a giraffe, and a Galapagos turtle. And you ask yourself, who is responsible, or what is responsible for this variety? Then you see a man from Solomon Islands. Then a man from Sweden. And a man or woman from Japan. And then a man from the United States. And then a young boy from Kenya. And a young lady from Zimbabwe. And they all have two eyes, a nose, two ears, a mouth, two feet, two hands, a chin, whatever. And you realize they are all the same, but they look vastly different. Who is responsible for that? I don't know his name, but there is a power somewhere. The invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. Now you've got to receive that by faith. The Bible says you can clearly get evidences of God by observing nature. Listen to Child Guidance, page 45, paragraph 3. I feel high and lifted up. Can I come down there? I don't want to jump down. It's not very delicate, and it's the Sabbath. So let me... Okay, there's some stairs right here. What book did I say? What page? 45, paragraph 3. Listen carefully, but let me pray first. Father, I should have prayed again sooner. Forgive me. Now, Lord, take full control. Renew your grip on my apparatus of speech and my instrument of thinking, Father. Use them for your glory, I pray, please, in Jesus' name. Amen. Child Guidance, page 45, paragraph 3. The whole natural world is designed to be an interpreter of the things of God. Now, what is the whole natural world? It includes you. Because right at the top of the natural world is the creation of mankind. The whole natural world is designed. Now, the word design means it is deliberate, not accidental. God deliberately placed lessons in nature to help us understand his word. That's why most of the teaching of Jesus was done how? By parables. Using nature, because it was he that put the lessons in creation, because he's the creator. The same book, Child Guidance, page 46, paragraph 3, the author writes these words. In the natural world, God has placed in the hands of the children of men the key to unlock the treasure house of his word. The unseen is illustrated by the seen. Divine wisdom, eternal truth, infinite grace are understood by the things that God has made. That. So maybe the next time you study Daniel or Revelation, study it under a tree, out in nature, because the whole natural world is designed to be an interpreter of the things of God. And in the natural world, God has placed in the hands of the children of men the key to unlock the treasure house of his word, and Jesus used that key over and over. The unseen is illustrated by the seen. In Michigan, the leaves are about to fall because we're in a season called fall or autumn. Then they fall. There's a lesson in that for us. It's death. A few months later in spring, the leaves come back. There's a lesson in that for us. It is resurrection. In the natural world, God has placed in the hands of the children of men the key to unlock the treasure house of his word. My brothers and sisters, there is power everywhere. And you and I must train our minds to identify the power, the evidences of that power, the tokens of God's character and greatness. And by so doing, as I was telling my friend, we will keep our minds in heaven, because every day becomes a search for another evidence of the glory of God. As you look around, as you walk through the supermarket, as you're in the bank, as you're in your car, wherever you are in the hospital waiting room, you are looking, what is there around me that reminds me of God? You're all wearing shoes. Most of your shoes are made of leather. Where does leather come from? Where does leather come from? Cows or goats or bulls. When were they made? When were land animals made? On the sixth day. So you make a spiritual connection just by looking at your shoe. You have a nice expensive scarf around your neck, my lovely sister, made of wool. Where does wool come from? When were sheep made? Sixth day. And you apply that to everything else. Are you breathing now, yes or no? Yes, I'm glad you said yes. When was the air made? Second day. So every time you take a breath, you thank God for having made the atmosphere. And God comes to mind, but it must be a habit you and I develop. The heavens declare the glory of God. Everywhere you look, there's evidence of the power of God. There's evidence there's a God of love. There's evidence that God desires your comfort by the things He has provided. Everywhere you and I look, up or down. And so tonight, I leave you with this appeal. Make it your business every day to identify the fingerprints of God, the footprints of God in all that you see around you. When you look at your children, think of God. Because Christ came as a child in His mother's arms. That is the greatest mystery. We'll never be able to fully explain how God came as a baby in a woman's womb. He was in there 9 months. He was born. He was breastfed. His diaper was changed. Every time you see a baby, Christ came as a baby. When you do that, your mind will always be in heaven. And so the Bible says, pray without ceasing. It does not say kneel without ceasing. It simply means keep your mind always in contact with heaven. There's a father perhaps sitting next to his son. What should come across your mind? God the Father sent His Son. The Son obeyed the Father unquestioningly. You look around and you see your wife. Christ has a wife. What's her name? The church. You look around, you see your husband. The church has a husband. What's his name? Christ. And He never put His hand on the church. He died for it. He didn't hit it. He died for it. And you ask, am I that kind of husband? Let me close by making an appeal. Colossians chapter 3 verse 1 says, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God or the Father. Set your affections on things above, not on things of this earth. Our affections dwell in the heart and the mind, not in the feet. There is no problem if your feet are on the ground. That's where they should be. But your mind should be in heaven. Because then your mind will tell your feet where to go. Let me say that again. Our feet may be on the earth, and there is no danger in having the feet on the earth. The danger comes when the mind is on the earth and not in heaven. And we can keep our minds in heaven by constantly observing the glory of God on the earth and the glory of God in the heavens. Do you see light? Yes or no? Yes, of course. What does that tell you? What does that remind you of? Where does your mind go? And God said, let there be light. And there was light. How many of you will say with me, Father, help me to train my mind to see your fingerprint and your footprint everywhere I go. Can I see your right hand? Ah, that hand went up like lightning. Stand up with me. I mean starting tonight. Not after the camp ends, starting tonight. Can you hear my voice through this microphone? What does that tell you? Make a spiritual connection. Did God speak the Ten Commandments from Mount Sinai? The Bible says in Hebrews 12, Paul writes, His voice shook the earth with a loud voice. Everything connected spiritually, because there's power where? Everywhere. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Father in heaven, we thank you, dear God, that you have arranged for us to get to know you even though we may not know your personal name. You are a God who does not allow excuses. You are a God who wants to be known that you might be loved, because to know you, dear Father, is to love you. And a lot of so-called Christians don't love you because they know the church, but they don't know you. And that's because they don't look for you. They don't observe you. Tonight, we've learned or we've reminded that in your word, we're told, your glory is in all the heavens, your glory is in all the earth. We just have to look. And if we look, we will find. Help us, dear God, to develop the mindset to look for God in everything we see, except in sin. Father, as a young man looking for a girlfriend looks around every time he sees young women, or the young girl looking for a young man every time she sees young men, or someone looking for a job, reading every postal board, whatever, let us look for you. Because your evidence is all around us. There is power everywhere. Bless us tonight, Father. Again, I ask you a special blessing on our guests. As we leave tonight, let us point to evidences of your glory, your power, your character. Let us sleep with you on our minds. As your servant says to us in Our High Calling, page 116, paragraph 2, your last thought at night, your first thought in the morning should be of Him in whom is centered your hope of eternal life. Father, let us fall asleep thinking of Jesus. If it so pleases you, Father, let us dream of Jesus. Wake us up tomorrow, Father, not to go about our business, but to glorify your name one more day. Wherever your people are worshiping you right now on this holy day around this world, bless them with your intimate presence, I pray. In Jesus' name and for His sake, let God's people say, Amen and Amen. Before you go, let me ask you quickly, stay standing. What will you take from the message tonight? You must have heard something that appealed to you. What will you take from the message? Just raise your hand. Yes. Say it again. Find a life lesson in everything we see. Somebody else raise a hand and tell me. What will you take? Yes, my pastor. Say again. Discipline your mind. The mind can be trained. To look for God in everything except sin. Somebody else. What will you take? Yes, I'm listening. Yes. That is right. 2 Corinthians 3:18. Blessings upon you, my lovely sister. We're in the back. Somebody else. What will you take? Yes. Maintain contact with Jesus all the time. This can be done by practice. It looks impossible now because we're worried about jobs, about health, about school fees, about our children, about being divorced or being divorced the second time. But we can train ourselves to put our minds on Jesus all day long. Somebody else, what will you take? Yes, my brother. That's right. It's okay to have your feet on the ground in a swamp somewhere, but keep your head in heaven. Somebody else, yes. See God in everything. In everyone. Because every living thing is alive because of God. Whether it's grass or human beings, all life comes from God. Everything that lives is dependent on God. Let me say it again. Everything that lives depends on God, because all life comes from God. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life, not just the life of human beings. He is life. I'll go further. Everything that exists, exists by the power of God, even if it's non, it's inanimate. A rock can only exist by the power of God.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody else? What will you take? Yes, sister. God's character is His glory.
Mm-hmm.
And we're supposed to glorify God by reflecting His character. Somebody else? Okay, now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. Let God's people say, Amen and Amen. God bless you. Sleep well. It's the Sabbath day. Watch your conversations. And may the Lord give you sweet rest. May He place an angel by every bedside that we may sleep protected from the attacks of the enemy. God bless you.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. International copyright, all rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.AmericanChristianMinistry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.